Well, let's turn the Bible, please, again this morning to Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 26, Matthew 26. I'm going to read together from the verse number 30. Matthew 26, verse number 30, just reading a short section of the Word of God, Matthew 26 and the verse number 30. The Word of God says, "And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And then Jesus said, Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Amen. May God indeed bless our hearts in His Word today. In our studies in Luke this morning, in the next service, we will behold our Savior suffering in the agonies of Gethsemane. We're going to contemplate the scene of our Savior and the sweat and the blood that came from our blessed Redeemer's brow. In recent times, we've looked at the Lord instituting the Passover, and we've seen His words of warning to Peter and indeed to all the disciples. Matthew and Mark, they record words that Luke does not give us. And in my general studies of the section in preparation for the Luke studies, I came across these words again in Matthew chapter 26, and I thought it would be edifying and helpful for us to really put in this section in our studies and also help us as we come to the table today. And especially, I want to look at the words at the end of this study, at the end of verse number 32, where the Lord says, "I will go before you into Galilee." That's the text I want to really leave with you. But before we get there, there are two other things I want to consider. So I want to think, first of all, about the Scriptures. The Scriptures that are mentioned here, verse number 31, "For it is written." We saw when Luke gives us the details of the section, he refers to Isaiah 53, "For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me, and he was reckoned among the transgressors." So Luke takes us back to Isaiah and the chapter 53. Matthew here in verse 31, he takes us back to Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah 13. So turn back there just in your Bible. It's only a couple of books in your Bible. You're back into the later part of the Old Testament. In Zechariah chapter 13, in the verse number 7, you will see the quotation of this text. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones." That's the quotation, that's the text that Matthew is drawing from in the verse number 31. Indeed, the Lord Himself is taking this text as He takes Isaiah 53, so the Lord takes Zechariah 13. "Because of me this night they shall be offended, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered." And we often sing the hymn, "Jehovah bade His sword awake." That's taken from this text in Zechariah chapter 13. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd." In Matthew 23, we see the quotation by our Savior, "I will smite the shepherd." And of course, He is referring to the Lord. It is the Lord that smites the shepherd. Jehovah bades His sword awake, not the sword of wicked men, but the sword of Jehovah. Jehovah's sword speaks of His justice. Just think of Eden and the swords that block access back into the garden of God. There is the sword that really pictures the justice of God. And so when you think of this text, verse 31, and you see the quotation of Scripture, there are some precious doctrines that are proven here. Let me just list to you, really, without much exposition, four of those doctrines. First of all, Christ died according to the Word of God. He dies in fulfillment of prophecy. It is written. It's a very important thing to remind ourselves of. The death of Christ that we consider here is a death that fulfills all the predictions of the Old Testament. It's a very clear proof. Jesus is the Messiah. Secondly, Christ dies according to the plan of God. He says there in the verse number 31, I will smite the shepherd. Long before the event, years before the event, there is the reality, I will indeed certainly smite the shepherd, and there'll be no doubt or possibility of this not happening. The cross of Christ is no plan B. It's no second idea when the Jews reject the Messiah. It was the plan and purpose of God from even before time began to smite the shepherd. Thirdly, Christ died under the justice of God, according to the word of God, according to the plan of God, and under the justice of God. I will smite the shepherd. The shepherd can only die under the sword of judgment if he is indeed guilty before the law of God. So we know, we understand, he bared our sins in his body. He takes our curse upon himself, our guilt. He dies as a sin-bearing substitute. And these reminders, they're important. You come to the table month by month. You've got to keep reminding yourself of these things. The death of Christ is part of God's purpose in grace and in mercy, but also in connection with his justice, without removing his justice. Christ dies under the justice of God. The sword awakes. God's justice satisfied in the death of his Son, which in the fourth place leads to the truth that Christ will fulfill the pleasure of God. Borrowing from Isaiah 53, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Here that pleasure is seen in verse number 32, but after I am risen again. Indicates the success of Christ's work. As he dies according to the law of God, the plan of God, the word of God, so we see, praise God, his work is successful, and indeed he will rise again. There is no doubt the scriptures will be fulfilled. Which leads in the second place, having thought about the scriptures briefly, to think about the sheep. They're mentioned here. The sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Scattered. Because of me. All ye shall be offended because of me this night. The disciple is ultimately and intimately identified with the master. That was the whole concept of discipleship in the time of the gospel. If you're a disciple, you belong to a master. These disciples, they were Christ, Jesus' disciples. They were his, and they were identified with him. And due to their allegiance with Christ, they will suffer, and then they will stumble due to the reproach of Christ. You see, turn across in your Bibles to the verse number 69 of this 26th chapter, and you'll see in the example of Peter, we have the concrete example, the other disciples flee, and Peter, he follows for a season. And you have there in verse number 69, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast, and here's the word, with Jesus of Galilee. Now, understand the weight of that word, with. There were great multitudes following the Lord. The point that's being made here is you were part of his inner circle. You're one of his chosen disciples. You were there and you're with him all the way through these recent years. You're a disciple of Jesus. It is by identifying himself with Jesus that Peter is now suffering reproach and persecution. And what does he do? He denies, verse 70, but he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. He denies love for Christ, denies association with Christ. Despite all previous protestations, again back into verse 33, yet will I never be offended. That word offended speaks of stumbling. Stumbling over their allegiance to Christ Jesus. They now are confronted with an obstacle in their way. If I continue to follow Christ, I'm going to suffer persecution. And when that obstacle comes, sadly, the disciples here, they trip and they stumble and they fall over that particular obstacle. You see, as we receive these elements, we are publicly declaring our faith in Christ. This is going out in the World Wide Web. Anybody can watch this service. And they can see you. And they can identify with you and say, oh, look, they were with Jesus. You get up this morning. You put on your Sunday garb and you get into your car and you drive to church, your neighbors, oh, there they go to be with Jesus. And you make that public identification of your association with Christ. Now, right now, that is causing you no major problems. Right now, no issue. There's nobody, as far as we know, recording this server for some secret agency to come and put you into jail and to arrest you. It's no real cost. You've lost a morning lie-in, perhaps. You've got early to come to church rather than lie in and recreate on a Lord's Day morning. What a wicked thing that would be to do. But you're here in the house of God. But no major cost. But it might happen hereafter. Possibly. And when the cause of Christ is at stake and his name, then we must be prepared to be hated for Christ's sake. These portions, they are so foreign to us. And so all I can say to you right now is, wherefore he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. We can judge Peter and the other disciples, and we can say, oh, you all ran off. And what we may betray is our own self-confidence in the spirit of self-sufficiency. If you believe for a second that you're not capable of such an act as Peter and the disciples, then you have fallen into the trap of self-sufficiency. Self-sufficiency is the enemy of faith in the keeping part of God. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. Proverbs 16, verse 18, he that trusts his own heart is a fool. Proverbs 28, verse 26. And so we must take the words of the psalmist upon our lips, hold thou me up and I shall be safe. And that must always be our attitude. We may be happy in peace, but deny the Savior in pain or in peril. Today's challenge to you may not be that you this week have denied Christ. Well, it may be. It may be the case that some of you have denied the Savior this week. In work, you've chosen to take the easy way out. And perhaps in a school situation, you've chosen to go with the crowd rather than stand for the Savior. And so, yes, there may be, and there often are, challenges we face to stand for Christ at this time in this day and age. But there's a broader challenge, and that is the challenge that we would never succumb to a spirit of self-reliance. We are not to pursue trouble. We're not to seek out persecution. But we are duty-bound to use the means of grace to ensure that our love grows and our faith in Christ is strong. That we would grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus. So when you see a portion like this and the disciples scatter, well, you can say, well, I won't do that. I'm not going to do that today. And that's good. But perhaps more importantly is that you get to your knees before God and say, Lord, I need your grace today and every day so that I will not deny you. And indeed, I need your grace today that I will grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Using the means of grace, using everything that God has given us that we would know our Savior and love him more and more day by day. It is our love for Christ that will keep us from denying him. That's what it's all about. It's a passionate love for Christ that will prevent you from denying Christ. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema maranatha. See, turn, please, very briefly to 2 Timothy chapter 2. My challenge to myself and to all of us today is that we would exercise and use the means of grace to strengthen our love for Christ, that we'd be in the Word day by day, in the Word under public preaching, in before the elements that we would see these things, and we use everything at our disposal to grow in grace. You see, Timothy is told by Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. He hears one who has, by experience, suffered for Christ's sake. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. He has not stumbled. He has not fallen. Why? Because I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able. That's the issue, isn't it? Not self-sufficiency, not Peter's spirit saying, everyone else may go, but not me. No, the spirit that says, I need to depend upon the Lord. He is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And so, that's the spirit. If you're not going to be ashamed of Christ, it is the knowledge of God's ability to keep you. But in light of that, Paul then tells Timothy, lie back and do nothing. No, he says, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. All of that's important. That if you're going to stand fast, you must know the form of sound words, and you must know them in faith and in love. The means of grace that keeps us from a spirit of self-sufficiency. And so may God help us. We contemplate the table, we think of the scriptures, we think of the death of Christ. May God help you as you pray this morning. Lord, Lord, I need your grace. I want to be kept from falling tomorrow. I want to know you by grace more and more. Open the scriptures. Oh, today, let me see my Savior in the garden. Let me behold his agonies as he suffers and bleeds and dies for my sins. Let me know my Savior. May my heart be gripped. And I'll hold fast the form of sound words. The sheep, they're scattered. And to prevent that, we must lay hold upon the form of sound words. Thirdly then, the shepherd. We've seen the scriptures, we've seen the sheep. Note the shepherd here. Christ, of course, is the shepherd. I will smite the shepherd. It's, of course, a reference to our Savior. He gives his life for the sheep. What great love there is. But what I want to note the words of the shepherd in verse 32 in the second part. I will go before you into Galilee. These are words of great comfort and encouragement, often missed by an inattentive reader or hearer of the word. These are words of profound significance. They are words that denote Christ's commitment. Despite their denial, the Lord loves them. Matthew 28 and the verse number 10, be not afraid, speaking after his resurrection, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee. See the connection? I will go before thee into Galilee. Chapter 28, after the resurrection, after the denials, after they're scattered, I will go before you to Galilee. They are my brethren. J.C. Ryle says this, let us take comfort in the thought that the Lord Jesus does not cast off his believing people because of failures and imperfections. He knows what they are. He takes them with all their blemishes and defects, and once joined to him by faith, will never leave them. Can you think? Just try. Now, we understand the Lord has a sinless mind. But you are going to the agonies of the cross, and your nearest and closest friends, they scatter, they leave you, they flee from you. Your close one, your closest three, they deny you. What are you to do in all this? They're my brethren. Christ is a love that we know so little of. Ryle continues, says this, let us learn to pass a charitable judgment on the conduct of professing believers. Let us not set them down in a low place and say they have no grace, because we see in them much weakness and corruption. Let us remember that our Master in heaven bears with their infirmities, and let us try to bear with them too. You see, this table displays Christ's commitment to sinners. And this table is intended to display our commitment in Christ to the same sinners. We come together here, despite our weakness and infirmities. We take the elements and we pray, Lord, you know my weakness. And so we must have that same spirit to each other. We see Christ's commitment here. Secondly, we see Christ's compassion. You see, the relationship that the Lord commits himself to, calling them his brethren, is a relationship that is of the shepherd's care and compassion for the sheep. The language here, I will go before you. is the language of the shepherd. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. The shepherd goes before. The sheep come after. And so when Christ is saying, I will go before you, he is saying, I will remain your shepherd. Though you deny me, though you scatter, I'm your shepherd, and I'll be your shepherd forevermore. That's what he's saying here. The language is of the shepherd leading his flock. The shepherd loves the sheep, though we go astray. All we like sheep have gone astray, turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He is our abiding shepherd. Thirdly, we see his commission here. You see, Galilee is the place of training and recommissioning. Again, note Matthew 28 and the verse number 10. Be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee. Then verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. They saw him, they worshipped him, some doubted, and then comes the commission, all power is given unto me, go ye therefore and teach all nations. You see, the shepherd is leading the sheep into the task that is prepared for them, the task of making Christ known to a lost and a fallen world. Our time is gone for this morning, but I want to encourage you to think about the blessed truth that we are sheep of a resurrected shepherd. He will rise again. He goes before us into Galilee, and the attitude that he has to disciples after the resurrection is the attitude he has towards us today. These things are true. His commitment, his compassion, his commissioning of us, these things are true of us as sheep today under the shepherd. You see, this morning we remember Christ crucified. He is the good shepherd who giveth his life for the sheep, John chapter 10. But not only is Christ the good shepherd, the crucified Savior, he is also the risen Christ. Hebrews chapter 13, the God of peace that brought again from the dead, our Lord, our dear Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. The resurrected Christ is called the great shepherd. And do you know what else? He's going to be the glorified shepherd. For the chief shepherd, when he shall appear, the returning Christ the shepherd. He's the shepherd who comes to die for us. He's a shepherd who rises for us. He's a shepherd again who will come and receive it unto himself. This is our blessed Redeemer, our shepherd. He is our shepherd still, who therefore protects us and provides for us and leads us in green pastures for righteousness' sake. Worship and praise your Savior today. What a shepherd, what a Savior, what a friend. May God bless his word to our souls today and help us as we come to take these elements by faith.